That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas and grab a drink because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our second episode of Sierra Unfiltered.
Hey, guys.
If you thought us wearing pajamas in the first podcast episode was just like a gimmick or like a little fun thing for the first episode, no.
Every episode's
going to be in our pajamas.
And we're going to try and coordinate. Like, we're both wearing blue sweaters.
Yeah.
Can't promise it'll always be coordinated, but
we're gonna
here
try.
We are.
I think our little matching blue sweaters are cute today.
Yeah,
elbow bump.
Whoop. It's your favorite color.
So what are you drinking?
Ooh, I am drinking orange juice.
Delicious.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Truly that I opened up and then poured into a coffee mug.
You know, we're just very classy here on the Unfiltered
Cheers.
Podcast. Oh, some clinking ASMR for you.
This is. Obviously, only the second episode, and the first one I wasn't drinking alcohol, and in this one I am, and it's probably good because we're going to be talking about, like, our wildest stories.
Get ready, guys.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about just, like, our friendship and our dynamic, but also, like, the crazy stories that we've yet to tell on the internet, and so alcohol, I think, is appropriate for me.
It's a good, like, lubricant.
Please never say that word again.
I can't say lubricant.
I can't.
There are lots of different types of lubricant.
Okay, but when you say lubricant, like, you think of one thing. Like, you think
I mean,
of,
I
like,
think of, like, a car lubricant, a conversational lubricant.
If you went over to your parents' house and your mom was like, oh hey, Eric, can you grab that lube? You wouldn't be like, oh, for the car?
Okay,
like,
I didn't say lube with, like, a hard E. I said lubricant.
Which just makes it sound, like, fancier.
Yeah.
Like, it's more expensive, but it's...
Like I said, real fancy here on this podcast.
Yeah. Anyways, welcome to Sierra Unfiltered. So, what is your unpopular opinion for the day?
I feel like I always have to start off, so people are always going to be more mad at me. This one, I feel like I have to explain a little bit.
Okay.
So, my unpopular opinion for today is people who are up in arms about straws.
Which is funny, because you are one of the most environmentally conscious people I know.
Thank you. I take that as a very big compliment. So I call myself a fleegan. So I eat like 80% vegan.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm at home, we're 100% vegan. But if I'm out and the only option is the cheese quesadilla, I'm going to eat a cheese quesadilla.
And I'm like a 50% vegan.
Yeah.
Like, I think you are more committed than me. Like, I still buy, like, real butter. You buy, like, vegan butter.
Yeah, for sure. But also, like, I try and use reusable cups, reusable bags, all the things. I'm talking about people who eat meat. Use plastic bags, make no other efforts to be environmentally conscious, but then change their Instagram bio to, like, stop using straws, you're killing turtles, 2019. Like, I just think...
Like, it's a great small... I see what you're saying. It is a great small step, but, like...
And also, turtles are very marketable.
Yeah,
like, it's like,
it's true.
Oh, the turtles, save the turtles. And, like, trust me, I want to save all the turtles.
Yeah.
Like, if I go to Starbucks, I, like, bring a reusable cup. If not, then I use a nitro lid.
Yeah.
But even, like, as someone who uses a nitro lid occasionally at Starbucks, I think that, like, that's still a crap ton of plastic.
Crap ton of plastic.
Like, that shouldn't be, like, the end-all be-all.
Agree.
The goal should be to use a reusable cup.
And
that's BPA free.
If a straw is part of decreasing your plastic use, I get that. But it's the, like... death march against straws, especially because a lot of people who are handicapped
need straws. Like, not everyone can drink from a cup.
It's super ableist.
It is. It is very ableist.
What's your unpopular opinion of my,
I feel like we're getting more controversial with these. Okay, so my unpopular opinion is that the idea that women need to be treated like princesses is a little problematic.
Okay, so explain.
Okay, so I feel like there's this whole idea of, like, men need to, like, treat your lady like a princess, like, she's your queen, which, like, yeah, like, but women also then, and if we're talking about, like, heterosexual relationships, like, not to be, like, super heteronormative, but if we're talking about, like, a male-female relationship, like, the woman should also be treating her man equally well.
Agree.
Like,
I mean, I think that that's, like, a bigger feminist issue of, I think...
We're getting so political on this episode.
Hey, unfiltered.
Straws, ableism, heteronormativity.
I mean, we're covering it all.
We are.
But I do think that goes back to feminist or feminism and people who are very quick to be like, I'm a feminist. I think men and women should be, like, treated equally. But then, like, also, if the guy doesn't pay for my meal on the first date, like, he's a cheapskate. And it's like, well, did you initiate the date?
That's another unpopular opinion. I don't think that it should always be, like, the guy or the girl that pays on the date. I think it should be whoever initiated the date. If, like, if I asked a guy out on the date, oh, I would pay. But if he asked me on the date, I would expect him to pay because he invited me.
Yeah.
In the same way that if I texted you and said, I want to take you out to dinner... And then, like, the check came, and I was like, like, that'd be, so, yeah.
Also, I think, like, the whole idea of treating your girlfriend or your wife like a princess, to me, insinuates that she's, like, gonna be, like, lounging around, being, like, effortless, and, like, maybe a little bratty and, like, ungrateful. I think it's totally, I think it's good to spoil your partner. Like,
yeah.
Going both ways, but I do think that, like, please and thank you are very important words.
To quote the best girl group of all time, the Cheetah Girls, I don't want to be like Cinderella, sitting in a dark, cold, dusty cellar, waiting for somebody to come and set me free.
Oh, no.
So that's my unpopular opinion. I think this is a really fun way to start the podcast because there are these, like, little snippets of things. And I've noticed now that we've, like, been recording the podcast all the time, something will happen. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to write that down. Like, that's a good unpopular opinion.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think... I agree with you. And you agree with me.
I do. Which maybe they're not that all that unpopular.
Well, I mean, we'll see in the comments.
Yeah.
But anyways, do we want to hop into our topic for today?
Yeah, let's do it. So we're going to be talking about, like, our wildest stories. But I feel like to understand that...
You have to understand who we
are. Our dynamic.
Yeah. So how about we describe each other?
Oh, okay. I like this.
Okay, so Sierra, aside from... I'm just going to talk about who you are, not, like, what you do or what you stand for. The adjectives I'd use to describe Sierra are a leader, someone who's compassionate, someone who's strong. Like, I think we really complement each other. I think that you really hold your own in situations, but I think you have compassion for everyone and everything. And so I think it's, like, a perfect balance.
Well, and if I was going to describe you, I would use...
You're, like, a brat.
The
awful.
Worst. No, like, you're genuinely the kindest person I've ever met. Like, not even just that you're a kind person. Like, Skylar's the kind of person that, like, if I texted her, like, and she was like, oh, how are you doing? And I was like, eh, I'm a little sick. She would, like, drive 45 minutes and bring me vegan chicken noodle soup. Mm. Like, that's just the kind of person
that's
she is.
Very sweet.
And not because you expect anything in return... Just because that's who you are. So you're, like, you're very, very kind. You're very, very, like, in tune with your emotions and, like, very, very sensitive in the way that you care a lot about other people. And I think that's where we balance each other in that, like, when we're together, Skylar would never send her food back at a restaurant, even if it was literally on fire. Like, she would be like, it's fine, I'm just going to eat it.
I'd be like, that's cool. What a neat feature.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't eat it, but you wouldn't want to inconvenience anyone. You wouldn't be like, hey, can we stop for more food? You would just be like, I can just be hungry. Whereas me, I'm like, I will send your food back, or I will stop and we can get something else for you. And that's where, like, the more brash side of me comes out, where, like, I would never let someone walk all over me, which can sometimes make me a little abrasive.
And so I also think that... Like, who we are in life aligns with, like, our goals in life. So we talk a lot about, like, our mission. Like, my mission in all of life is to, like, be kind and take care of people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not to, like, make the biggest career moves or change people's lives. It's, like, the everyday little things of, like, I want to take care of my friends and I want to take care of my spouse and I, like, want to be kind and compassionate to, like, people at the store and, you know.
And you do. And it's so sweet. I remember one time we were filming in San Diego and we walked by this girl and Skylar goes, I love your skirt. You look so pretty. And then the girl turns around and she was a fan of the channel. And, like, you didn't say that because, like, you knew she was a fan of the channel.
Yeah.
But that, like, made her day times 10 because not only did you compliment her outfit, but, like...
But it was also coming from...
Someone who she, like, watches. Yeah. And, like, you are just the kind of person... And you've influenced me to be a kinder person. Aww. And that, like, I do that so much more. Like, all the time now, I'll, like, pay for the person behind me in line or just, like, ask... Like, tell the employee at Target, like, hey, I really hope that you have a good rest of your shift. Like, yeah. You've influenced that in me.
But see, I think it goes both ways. Because since I feel like your mission, at least right now, is like to have a big impact. Yep. And to be a leader. And I feel like you're very career oriented right now. Because like your channel has such a great message behind it that deserves to be spread. And so I think especially like being in this industry, you need to be strong. And you need to be a leader. Like even dealing with things like brand deals. Yeah. Or, you know? Just different negotiations, like you have to be able to hold your ground, and so you really strive in that.
Yep.
And I feel like you've taught me to stick up for myself more and not be such a pushover, which is not saying much because I still am a pushover.
No, but you just care a lot. You care a lot. And what's interesting is, so like Skylar and I are opposites and we balance each other, and her husband Kyle and me are really similar.
They're like twins.
We're literally
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and then Skylar and Steven are very, very similar. Mm-hmm. And so it works because we're like a dynamic duo, like within our quartet.
Yes.
Because so you and I are obviously best friends. We're opposites. We balance each other out. You and Kyle are opposites. You balance each other out. Me and mm-hmm. Steven are opposites. We balance. But then also like I really understand Kyle
mm-hmm.
and you really understand Steven.
Totally.
And so like Skylar will be explaining to me like an argument her and Kyle got in and I'm able to like explain Kyle's side a little bit more.
Totally.
And then you do the same thing with Steven. I'll explain mm-hmm. an argument and you'll be like, well, I feel like he was probably thinking XYZ. And so yeah. it's interesting how like our friendship dynamic is similar to our relationship dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Opposites really do attract.
I know, in friendship and in relationships.
So do we want to talk a little bit about how we met?
Oh.
Because I feel like that's kind yeah. of a fun story.
Yeah. So Skylar and I are both theater kids. Like, Ooh. Not really, we don't like do theater anymore, but like once a theater kid, always a theater kid.
I mean, heck yeah.
Yeah. And like, so we met when we were in middle school, mm-hmm. I think. Was it 7th or 8th grade?
I think it was 8th grade.
8th grade. We were in a production of Wizard of Oz together. I was Dorothy. Skylar was the fortune teller.
I was about to say, you'll never guess who was the lead. And it was like a random supporting character.
And you'll never guess who was like the granola intuitive fortune teller.
I mean, this one. Very on brand.
Our director told us we had great chemistry.
I think that was like the start of something very special.
But the thing is, so if you've ever done theater together, like your cast becomes really close and then 9 times out of 10 the show ends and you don't really talk anymore.
Yeah.
And so we were show best friends. We like after rehearsal we get frozen yogurt, like we had sleepovers.
And also I feel like we kind of prided ourselves on being like the mature ones in the cast.
Yeah, because it was like community theater, so most of the kids were like between the ages of like 8 and 14, so we were on like the high end.
And even like the people who were our age, I feel like we thought we were like not the bad girls, but, like, we thought we were cool. And so that show ended. We went to different schools. We parted ways.
We were Facebook friends, but yeah. we didn't, like, hang out anymore.
And then late sophomore year?
Yes.
We both went to charter schools.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't know that. We both left high school and went yeah. to charter school. And I was working at a theater company as, like, a assistant producer, costume assistant, kind of, like, doing everything person. And since I didn't go to school during the day, I would go work at the theater during the day and then usually do my schoolwork in the evening. And the director of the theater company was like, hey, we're going to do a big costume clean out. Like, it's going to be on a Tuesday, though. So if you know any other kids who aren't in, like, traditional school, like, let them know. If they want to come help, they can make, like, $50. And so there was, like, a big theater Facebook group for everyone who went and, like, did shows at that theater. And I posted it. And I think you said that you would come and like two other kids said they would. So there was like me, you and these two other kids. And we were like, you know, chatting, getting along, but like not like crazy, like clicking or anything.
Yeah.
And then we had to go wash like over 100 costumes at the laundromat.
Like gross costumes, like yeah. gross, sweaty, like prepubescent boys were wearing them. Yeah. They just Not a great time.
And so we were going to have to sit in this laundromat for like 2 to 3 hours just waiting for all these loads of laundry. So he sent us together because he was like, I don't want to make one of you guys go alone.
Yeah.
We talked about everything.
Like the meaning of life, how we both were like the same person, but yet like complimentary.
I think I cried.
I'm sure I cried. Also, I remember us like getting Taco Bell after and just being like, this is the perfect day.
Like we just, that, we clicked so well. We became like the best of friends in that 3 hours. And then we realized that we both had Disneyland passes and that we both were in charter school.
So literally the next day we went up to Disneyland and did like 12 or 14 hours at Disneyland together.
I'm going to see if you guys go to my Instagram story or my Twitter, I'm going to post a photo because that first day we have a photo of us. We coordinated our outfits. We said that we were going to wear running shoes so that our feet would be comfortable, capri length yoga pants and tank tops and Mickey ears. And we did.
So extra.
So extra.
But yeah, I think literally, I would venture to say every single day after that we hung out.
And
for multiple years.
I want to say that was in June. So it was like right before summer anyways, going into junior year.
Yeah.
So it was like not only, we were in charter school anyways, so like we could have hung out every day, but then we really didn't have school.
Yeah.
It was sleepovers every day.
You had a boyfriend around that time, mm-hmm. and I seriously was like a third part of your relationship.
The three of us every single day, and I was the only one who had a car. Mm-hmm. So I would go, I would pick you up, I would pick him up, and we would just, and he had a Disney pass too. So we would go to Disneyland. Do you remember your mom's Taco Bell coupons? That was such a big part of our friendship.
Big shout out to Charity.
So Skylar's mom is a teacher. And as, like, an incentive to the kids, Taco Bell gave them, like, hundreds of these little, like, combo meal free coupons that were supposed to be for, like, good grades. But they were expiring at the end of that summer in, like, September, and she still had hundreds of them.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that.
And we were high school students, so we had, like, no money. And we would go to Taco Bell.
For, like, every meal.
Now, if I eat Taco Bell, I don't feel great. So yeah. I, like, don't eat Taco Bell. But, like, unless I'm, like, drinking or it's, like, you know, a fun little extra thing. How did we go to Taco Bell every day and not, like...
And get, like, combo meals.
And not, like, throw up every day?
I don't know. Like that teenage metabolism.
I feel sick to my stomach now if I eat Taco Bell. And if I have, like, a little nachos back then.
And we would do that and then, like, go party.
Yeah!
Like, how did we do that?
It was wild.
We're such old ladies.
So that was like our summer, like of our friendship, me and you and my high school boyfriend.
I mean, we're talking about our wildest stories. Do we want to tell
the skinny dipping story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's really funny.
It's hysterical.
So we were not wild, but you know.
We were normal teenagers. Experimenting, you know, pushing boundaries, figuring things out.
And so we decided that it would be really fun for the three of us
on the last day of summer
to go skinny dipping together at Sierra's parents' house.
We were like, it's the last day of summer, like,
which thinking back is so weird.
So weird.
Like, you guys were in a monogamous relationship. We were like uncomfortable teenagers, like feeling weird in our bodies. Like, I do not know what compelled us to, like,
well, you know what I think it was is, like, I mean, we're not saying his name, so it doesn't matter, but he also was like really open about like his own body struggles.
Yeah.
And so I think it wasn't like some like big like douchey guy being like, two naked girls. It was like, no, we're all just gonna be like free and naked and, you know, whatever. So we go skinny dipping, and the actual skinny dipping wasn't awkward.
Yeah, I think for you it was the least awkward.
That's true.
But it wasn't that bad.
No, it was like, we were like giggling and whatever.
So then we go upstairs, and keep in mind, Sierra's the only one that had a car at this point. Sierra turns on, it was like South Park or something.
South Park.
Yeah, me and the boyfriend did not like South Park. But we're like, whatever, Sierra, like, turn on South Park. She knocks out.
Just asleep on the couch.
Just, like, fast asleep. And then it's so awkward between me and him because we just saw each other butt naked. But, like, he's in a relationship. Neither of us are interested in each other. But, like, we don't know how to, like, talk about what just happened, and like you're laying there and you're asleep and it's weird, and like there's a show that neither of us are interested on.
And then his curfew was 11 o'clock and it was like 11:15, and so his mom's texting him like, where are you, you know, like, do I need to come pick you up, you said Sierra was gonna drive you home.
And fun fact, Sierra is, I don't want awful in the mornings.
You've gotten a lot better. It used to be bad when I was in high school.
But we were, like, for some reason, so nervous to wake you up that he just kept making me feel bad about it. He was like, I'm going to be in such big trouble and this, that, and the other. And I was like,
There's nothing I can do.
This is like a your relationship problem. Like, yeah. I don't know what I can do in this situation. So, needless to say, very uncomfortable, but very funny to look back on. I do not know what compelled us to do that.
How soon? No, he and I dated for like another 6 months after that. I was thinking that was at the end of our relationship, but it wasn't.
No.
Did you guys ever like talk about that?
No, I don't think
so. We just all pretended like it didn't happen.
But I feel like the three of us would kind of go on like... Not dates.
We kind of went on dates.
But, like, we'd be like, okay, guys, the three of us are going to go on, like, a romantic scavenger hunt.
Like, what do we want to do today? Like, we're going to go to Julian and go apple picking, like, the three of us.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was all kind of weird, but.
But, so then, obviously, like, that relationship didn't pan out. Sweetest guy, great guy, just didn't work out.
We had a single phase.
We had a single phase together.
We were a little crazy. At least a little boy crazy.
But now, knowing that we both ended up getting married young, I actually am glad that we had that phase.
Oh, 100%.
Because I feel like I sowed my wild oats. Like, oh,
they've been sowed.
They've been sowed. One of my favorite stories is, so we were so thirsty. Now that I'm just hearing the story back and I'm like, oh my gosh, we were just such thirsty little teenagers. We had Disney passes, so we would drive up to Disneyland and...
It was, like, our mission to find what we would call Disneyland boyfriends.
Where we would hang out with them.
Like, so we would... Well, first of all, we would go to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. We would dress real cute. Mm-hmm. And then we would just kind of, like, pan around looking for, like, two guys.
One my type, one your type.
And then we would approach them and then hang out with them.
And our types were and still are very different.
Yeah.
So it was easy because it was never, like... Oh, you want to be with that? Like, you want to hang out with that one? Like, I want to hang out with that one. It was very clear if we found, like, a duo, like, who was going to be with which one.
Totally. And so...
I remember this so clearly. So, because I think I was going to tell the same story you were. We were walking back from Tower of Terror. Mm-hmm. We had just gotten off Tower of Terror. So we walked by these two guys, like, my type, her type. Very, very clear. We kind of make eye contact, but we pass each other. And then Skylar's like, oh, my gosh. We should have said something. Like, they were, like perfect. And so I turn around, and they're, like, and this is, again, with our personality types. They're, like, 20 feet away from us. And I just go, you're cute. And then they turn around, and they're, like, the curly-haired guy looks at you, and he goes, your friend's cute, too. And then I make eye contact with the other guy. And then I thought that was going to be it. So we just kind of, like, walked. But then they circled back, and they came back to us. And they were, like, you guys want to go on Tower of Terror? And we were, like, okay. So we hung out that whole day.
I can't believe how bold we used to be. That is so crazy just to yell out at someone,
you're cute,
and then hang out with them.
Yeah. Like, who were we? Like, I would never do that. So we hung out with these guys all day and all night because we met them at like 8 o'clock and the park closed at like 11. So we're only with them for a few hours. And then we left and we exchanged numbers. And I actually wasn't really into the guy. You were actually kind of into your guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, oh, he was, like, cute, whatever. I think you guys actually had chemistry. I don't think me and the other guy had chemistry.
I also fall a lot faster than you do.
That's true.
I feel like you take, like, a couple dates. I can meet someone and then be like, cool, let's get married. Like,
so I didn't exchange numbers with the other guy. I was just kind of like, bye, like, see you never. Skylar and the other guy exchanged numbers, and they were texting on the car ride home. And she goes, oh, my gosh, you know how he goes to UC Santa Barbara? Well, and this was right before Halloween, like a week before. She goes, he just invited us to come up for Halloween. And we were like, should we go? Like, oh, my gosh, a college party? Like, what? Like, we're going to go up to Santa Barbara? And so we came up with this elaborate plan where, and my parents know about this because, as you'll find out later in the story, we did get caught.
My parents don't, so
shout out to Charity and Eric.
So basically, we got up to Santa Barbara.
Yep.
It happened. And was it the first night or the second night where the incident happened?
It was the second. So okay. First of all, so we go up the first night. We create this elaborate lie to our parents. We drive up. We drive back before they even, like, they thought we were at your dad's house, which was, like, an hour away. So they wouldn't have any way of, like, checking.
Yeah.
We got away with it. We should have just been happy that we got away with it. And I was like, I think I brought it up. I was like, what if we went back?
Yeah, you brought it up because you hadn't been drinking. So you hadn't felt the negative fruits of your labor.
And Skylar's like, you were a little hesitant. You were like, but then you were like, wait, should we? And I was like, we totally could. Like, we didn't get caught. The fact, I forget about this when I tell this story. The fact that we got away with it and then we had to go again and then we got caught. So, okay, mm-hmm. So we go again. Mm-hmm. Drive up 4 freaking hours to Santa Barbara in my little Ford Focus. Oh. We get up there and we're trying to find parking. We can't find parking. So I'm like at a stoplight and I pull up my phone to try to like find some sort of like parking plaza near there. And
also the first night we didn't even find the Disneyland boyfriends that we came up to find. So
we just met with random guys.
So I think that's also part of how you convinced me.
I was like, we can meet up with them.
Yeah.
Actually this time. So a cop pulls up next to me because of course it's Halloween weekend in Santa Barbara. So there's cops everywhere. And they pull me over. They're like, oh my, like, are you on your phone? They breathalyze me, which of course I wasn't drinking. So I passed. And then they were just kind of looking at me and they were like, well, you were still on your phone. So we're going to give you a ticket. I start bawling. Like, I'm in, like, my slutty cat costume, like, just sobbing, like, uncontrollably.
It was a sight to see.
I wish I had a photo of that. Maybe I don't. But Skylar and I are pulled over on the side of the road. I'm crying. She's trying to console me. And she's like, do you want to drive back? And I was like, well, no, but, like, my mom's going to find out because they're going to send the ticket to my parents' house. Like, I'm going to get in trouble and I'm not going to be able to have fun tonight because I know my mom's going to find out and she's going to be so mad and disappointed. And I decided, and which was so stupid, I was like, I'm going to call my mom and tell her. First of all, this is just a good because we weren't that bad. Like, we weren't, like, bad girls. We weren't off, like, doing drugs and, like, you know, like, having sex. Like, we weren't doing, I mean, having sex isn't bad, but we were young, you know? We weren't doing that stuff. We were just pushing boundaries, and we were bad to a point, but then, like, I cried and called my mom. So I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, Skylar and I aren't at her dad's house. We're up in Santa Barbara and I got a ticket for being on my phone and you're gonna find out and I just don't want you to be disappointed in me and I'm so sorry. And she was like, you know, typical mom stuff, I'm disappointed in you, you know, you shouldn't have done this, we trusted you, you have a car and, you know, we thought we could trust you with that. She's like, but it's too late now for you guys to drive back. And we were staying with girls that we knew. And so they were like, just stay with the girls that you know, and you will have consequences tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So we had another night in Santa Barbara.
Also, we showed up at the party, and the guy that I had been talking to was in, like, a full-body Gumby suit and, like, refused to take it off. So still to this day, we don't know if it was him. Also, we didn't talk about Chuck.
Chuck!
Chuck! So throughout this whole thing, we see Chuck. A guy, so it's like one of the craziest party towns in the ever. United States, especially on Halloween. So there are just people like roaming the streets. We have our windows down.
We're waving at
music,
people. Yeah.
You know, it's a whole thing. And we see this guy in like a doctor's costume.
He was pretty cute.
It was pretty cute.
Yeah.
He approached our car and was like, hey, I lost my friends. I'm from San Diego. Can I like hop in your car and like drive with you to wherever? I don't even really remember what he said.
Well,
we were like, oh my gosh, you're from San Diego too? Like, of course, hop in. Which, like, stranger danger.
Don't let strangers dress as doctors in your car, even if they're kind of cute. Like, don't.
Especially if their name's Chuck.
Yeah. We took a selfie with him.
Yes.
It was like me and you in our cat costumes and then Chuck in the back.
Yes.
Which I want to find. I can't find that photo. I want to find it. Anyways, he asked if we could drive him back to San Diego because he was like stranded. We said yes. And then we never found him.
So it was like a running joke for forever. Like, what happened to Chuck? Yeah. Like, we would see a guy at Disneyland who like kind of looked like him and be like, oh, it's Chuck. He made it. He's
we
still
never
alive.
Make jokes about Chuck anymore. And remember every song we used to sing, we would just substitute Chuck in it. Do you remember that? Like, we'd be singing, like, I just can't wait to be king, but we'd make it, like, I just can't wait to be Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Big Chuck fan.
Big Chuck fan. So that's the Santa Barbara. I mean, the funny thing is, like, I feel like we were kind of bad in some ways, but also very tame in other ways. Like, we drove up to Santa Barbara. Obviously, that's wild. But, like, I didn't drink. Like, we weren't doing anything particularly dangerous other than letting Chuck in her car. Anyways, so, I did get grounded, so.
My parents never found out until now.
So. Actually, my parents told you to tell your parents on your own.
They said, it's my decision.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what, Skylar? We recommend you tell your parents, but, like, we're not going to tell them. That's up to you. And so we, like, walked into the other room and we're like, cool, I'm not telling them. We won.
I remember we walked into the other room and we looked at each other because we had been so nervous that whole drive home. I think I was grounded for, like, a week and that's it. Like, it wasn't even bad. Yeah. We walked in the room, we look at each other, we're like, cool.
Solid.
Like, it was kind of worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I, you know, I think a lot of people look at us getting married young, especially me because I'm religious. And, like, I think a lot of people look at me and think, you know, oh, you know, she only got married young because, like, she's religious and she had to and she had no experiences. And, no, like, ugh, I had some experiences.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've dated more people than Kyle has. Yeah. And Kyle's older than me. Yeah. You know, like, I've, and I think the same for you and Steven. Yeah. Like, I've sowed my wild oats. Yeah. I got all my partying out of my system, and we can still party.
Yeah.
Just with the four of us.
And I think there is something to be said for, like, I think maturity is less about age mm-hmm. and more about, like, where you are in life. Mm-hmm. Like, I met Steven when I was 18, but I was ready to settle down. Like,
yeah,
we had done all the things, you know? And so, let's circle back. So after post Santa Barbara, post Disneyland Boys, how long was that period of our craziness? It was pretty short.
Yeah, it's all a blur. I feel like it went by really fast. And then you started dating Steven.
Yes.
Can I talk about the first time I met Steven?
Please do.
Okay, so Sierra had hyped up Steven. Like, he was, like, the greatest guy in the whole wide world. Keep in mind, I had been very close to her ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And so the first time I met Steven.
Also, he used to go by Steve-O.
Oh, yeah. He went by Steve-O. Which, exclusively. Like, yeah. You could not call him Steven, not Steve.
Steve-O.
Which already was, like, not a red flag, but, like, a pink flag, you know, just like, okay, that's a little funny.
So Steven and I met in December of 2013, and then he invited me on New Year's. So this was very, very new, like a week after we went on our first date, to go to a New Year's party with him at his friend's house. I didn't know anyone. I barely knew Steven. So I was like, hey, you know, I really want to hang out with you on New Year's. And he was doing the whole, like, I want you to be my New Year's kiss. Like, la, 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 let's start off the year together. And I was like, okay. But, like, I don't know anyone. Can I bring my friend? And he was like, yes, of course. So Skylar came with me.
So I show up to his parents' house. Mm-hmm. And first of all, at the time, he drove a red Mustang, mm-hmm. which is kind of a lot. And then I, like, got in his car. And Steven is, like, very shy at first, mm-hmm. especially back then.
I think he didn't come off as shy because he drove the Mustang and he had, like, swoopy hair. And
so he just came off as, like,
a loose.
Yeah, a little standoffish.
Yeah, maybe? And he was blasting EDM music, so which he still, that's not even like a phase. Like, Steven still, if he's cleaning the house, he'll put on music that's like, like, that's still Steven to this mm-hmm. day.
And he had like a little Pac-Man air freshener, and it was a lot. And so we like drove to his friend's house to pick up his friend. And I remember I just kept making eyes at you because you had described him as like this like poetic, shy boy. And I just was like in a car with a guy named Steve-O blasting EDM who like didn't ask me any questions.
He used to quote Disney to me. I remember he like, this was before, after our first date, but before New Year's, we were talking about Disney because we met at Disneyland. And he was like, I just feel like I'm Aladdin and you're my diamond in the rough. Like, he was, like, very, like, I don't know, like, sweet.
Yeah,
like,
of cute. Course. But, yeah, so I did not have the best first impression of him. And which is so funny because he's literally, like, one of my best friends now. And yeah. I love him so much. And also, I feel like we're the same person. Yeah. So, like, that's kind of a critique on myself. But it was so funny. Just, I feel like that's how new relationships are, is you see someone and you're like, oh, they're this tortured soul. We connect on so many levels. We're soulmates. And then your friend meets them and they're like, their name's Steve-O and they're blasting EDM and they haven't said a word to me. So where is this tortured artist?
And then obviously, you know, Skylar and Steven became close.
Oh my gosh. Over. So fast.
But, when I met Kyle, I, like, adored Kyle. But going back a little bit, the relationships before Kyle, I was really critical of. And honestly, yeah, looking back on it,
for
I'm like,
good reason.
No, but I look back on it, I'm like, maybe I was too, I supported you. I never told you this guy isn't right, break up with this guy. But you would be like, what do you think of this guy? Like, he's so awesome. I love him so much. Like, we're going to be together forever. And I was like, I think, you know, maybe keep your options open. Like, I just wasn't like, and I do feel a little bit bad about it now. Like, I do think I should have been a more supportive friend. But it came from a good place in that I had such high expectations for you.
But then you met Kyle. And I remember you literally, you told Steven, not me, but now I've heard it many a times, that you thought Kyle could be too good for me.
Like,
which is like the biggest 180 of someone, like, imagine having a best friend who's like, not hypercritical, but critical of like all of my boyfriends up until that point.
And then you were so nervous to introduce him to me. You kept saying like, okay, like, we're gonna come down and hang out. Like, I really hope you like him. Like, and you kept like trying to be like, if he's a little shy, I'm sorry. Or like, if he's a little this, I'm sorry. I adored Kyle from the moment I met him. I was like, this is the guy for you. Like, you guys are gonna get married. Like, he was so like good for you. You guys balanced each other. He had a career. That's the thing. You liked the tortured artist.
That is true.
And I knew that you were destined for big things, mm-hmm, and not just living the white picket fence life in San Diego and never seeing the world. Like, I knew that you had so much more to look forward for you, mm-hmm, and I had such high expectations for you that it wasn't that I didn't like the guys that you met. They were all such sweet guys. It was that I knew there was something better, and I was right. No, it's Kyle.
You were right. Well, and it's nice because now I feel like for a lot of people, or at least I feel like the perception of it is like, you get married, you have a family, and like, that's it. Like, yep, you have to like be wild and crazy, and then you just settle down and you're done. I feel like the four of us have done quite a bit of partying.
Yeah.
We've had quite a few adventures.
And even outside of like drinking and whatever and like, yeah, going out, like, we just have fun together. Like, oh, we're, yeah, so silly. We're so ridiculous. We just have the best, like, some of my favorite nights of all time are just the four of us hanging out at my house.
Totally.
Like, that's it. Like, just, you know, playing like fibbage on the TV. And like, I remember one time, like, the boys were on one of their, like, little movie dates, and we decorated the whole house. We went to the Dollar Tree,
and
yeah, we got a bunch. There's a vlog of it. We went to the Dollar Tree, and we decorated the house like a themed party. It was, like, a, like, luau
themed. We did multiple themed parties for the boys. That was, yeah, like, did a thing for a hot minute. Maybe we should bring that back.
I think we should.
But
yeah, like, we just have, we have, I think you and I had our wild time together. And I like that we still have a little bit of that, like, spontaneity and craziness. Maybe the four of us aren't driving up to Santa Barbara, but, like, we've taken spontaneous trips to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I remember one time after Pokemon Go Community Day, we were driving home, and we were, like, it was, like, 2 o'clock, and we're, like, what if we all went to Disneyland? Like, are our passes good? And we went and checked, and they were good. Mm-hmm. And then
we were, like, what if we got a hotel room so we could, like, drink and hang out and do the whole thing?
I booked it on my phone, like, right, mm-hmm, there. I booked a hotel.
And we just drove up. Like, no pajamas, no nothing.
We stopped at Target and bought toothbrushes.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, we just, and
like, I mean, that trip was, like, a whole trip in itself.
But I think the idea that we still do things like that, but now with our partners, is so fun. And I hope that we continue to do that. Like, I hope that we're, like, 80, and we're like, we should go down to bingo. We weren't planning on going to bingo, but let's do it. Like, I want that to continue forever.
Gotta when
we
keep our relationship spicy.
Yeah. Like, when we have kids together, I hope that we take, like, spontaneous trips to, like, the animal park and, like, just go and do it and have fun. And, like, I hope we continue that, you know?
We will.
I hope so.
I have faith.
I think so, too.
Well, do you want to transition into the advice portion of our podcast?
Let's. Look at that segue, queen. Okay. So, let's see. Which one do I want to do first? Oh, this is a good one.
Okay. I'm excited. I haven't heard any of them.
Hi, Sierra and Skylar. First, I want to say I love your channel, Sierra. It really makes my day, and I look forward to videos so much. Okay. My question is just how to deal with feeling behind or less than your peers in your career, school, with boys, just everything, and knowing that you're on the right path and what you're doing is the right thing, because I'm 21 and I'm all over the place, and I feel like I'm on a way different wavelength than my peers, and not the best way. So any advice, very much appreciated. Love you guys. I can't wait to see what you guys are working on. Bye.
Aww.
That's so
all of them
sweet.
Are so. I think this is becoming like my favorite part of the podcast.
I know.
It's like the advice. Okay. Both of us took less traditional routes for our life.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us have college. Well, I have my AA, but neither of us took the traditional college path. And I think we've both gone through that period of looking at what your friends are doing and realizing that you're not in the same place. And I think it can be really easy to be critical of yourself and be like, especially for me, like, you know, I graduated from high school 6 years ago. So I have friends who just finished their master's. And mm-hmm. I look at people and I'm like, they finished their master's? Like, what am I? Like, think of what I could have done with all that time. Like, I'm on a totally different path. And, you know, like she said, like, maybe that's not a good thing. But there's not one right way to do life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one path to happiness. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we're all just working to try to, like, be happy and content with our lives. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that is college. For some people, that's a career. For some people, that's a family. Like, mm-hmm. I think a good representation is, like, my, like, three best friends from high school. It was, like, me, Corey, and Kenzie. I am kind of doing, like, the entrepreneurial route. Like, I'm, you know, I have my channel. I have my business. I'm really, really hustling. My friend Corey is working towards her master's. She's going to be – well, actually, she's working towards her PhD. She's going to be – she's going to have her doctorate, and she's going to be, like, a licensed psychologist. And then Kenzie is having a baby in, like, 5 days. All yeah. three of us are on completely different paths, and all three of us could look at each other and be like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? Like, I'm sure Corey looks at, you know, Kenzie and is like, oh – but and Corey's even said to me, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe Kenzie's having a kid. Like, I just don't feel ready for that. Kenzie looks at me and thinks the same way. I look at Corey. Like, it's so easy to compare yourself, and we're all on these different paths. But what do you think? What's your advice?
I mean, obviously, I agree. I think also a really important thing to emphasize is that college isn't always the answer, and relationships aren't always the answer.
Mm.
Babies aren't always the answer. I think a lot of these things are kind of assumed upon us. Like, even for me, I was going to college, but I was working 90 hours a week in professional theater.
Yeah.
And I literally got hired to light a show at my college, and then was in intro to lighting and was supposed to write a paper, like, reviewing the lighting of that show.
That you did professionally.
Yeah. And so I was like, what do I say? Like, yeah. I'm not learning anything. I'm paying my own tuition, so I'm getting into debt. Like, there's no reason for me to pursue this
yeah.
when I'm already way over my workload with, like, my actual work, and I'm already yeah. doing what I want to do.
Right.
Like, there's, I think that college can be amazing and great if you know what you're doing or know what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
But for people who are just going in and doing gen ed and aren't, like, actively exploring what they want to do next, I think it can put you in a lot of debt. I yeah. think that it can take up a lot of time where you could be, you know, out, like, doing internships and, like, actually working in fields that, like, could potentially interest you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think comparing yourself to anyone ever is always a dangerous game to play.
Especially because there's just not one way to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are a million different metrics of success, and you're never going to have them all. But I think, for me, the main thing, especially for this particular, like, question, is be working towards something.
Mm-hmm.
That something doesn't have to be a degree. It doesn't have to be marriage. It doesn't have to be like a house or savings or anything. Work towards something. Maybe it's happiness. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's like anything in your life that you are working towards. I think that's how you can measure your own personal success.
And I think setting, like, little achievable goals for yourself is also very important.
Yeah.
You know, even if your goal is like, hey, I want to meditate twice a week yeah. for the next month.
Yeah.
Like, that is something you can do and yeah. you can control. I think you can't control, like, I want to be married in the next 2 years.
No.
Or, you know, and so
because God has other plans. Like, it's not always up to you if you're going to meet the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
But I think just, you know, be focused on your own success. Know that they're probably comparing themselves to you in different ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
And work towards whatever it is that's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
All right. Here is another one.
Hey, Sierra. My problem I've been having lately is I have a fiance who I love very much. We're getting married in February. But
congratulations.
I've recently been wanting to get in contact with an ex from high school. Not anything romantic, just because we were close friends. I want contact again, but I don't want to hurt my fiance's feelings. So I need advice on what I should do. Thanks, bye.
That's a tough predicament.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely had that, you know, I think regardless if it's a romantic relationship or not, when you have that closeness to someone, it's hard to walk away.
I think I have a couple thoughts.
You
first, go first of all, I think you need to talk to your fiance about it.
Yes.
I think it very much depends on the type of relationship you have. Mm-hmm. I think ideally you're not in a relationship that's like rooted in jealousy. But also I think that you have to really evaluate why you want to reach out to that person. I think like I'm very apt to be like, talk to whoever and, you know, just like have open communication with your partner because like it shouldn't be an issue. But also I don't have any reason to reach out to my exes because I'm fulfilled in my current relationship and I've like closed that chapter. So I think you really need to evaluate
why. Yeah. And if it is truly just you miss that closeness with that person, I think it starts with being open with your fiance, because obviously at the end of the day, that relationship is more important to you than the relationship with the ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know your relationship history, but talk to your fiance, tell him, and I think it helps saying why,
mm-hmm.
because I'm sure, you know, if he came to you and was like, I want to reach out to my ex, your first thought would be like, well, do you still have feelings? So I think coming at it from that angle of like, hey, you know, I had such a close relationship with this person and I'd really like to reconnect just on a friendship level, see what they're up to, and I want to make sure that we are open and transparent about that. Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think practicing empathy is the most important thing in this situation. Yeah. Thinking about like your partner's feelings and also how you would feel if the situation was reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm friends with a lot of people that I like casually dated.
Yeah.
But that's, like, I'm friends with them because I work with them, mm-hmm. or because, like, we have to be around each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could ever be friends with someone just for the heck of it, or someone that I had, like, a deep romantic relationship with.
See, I think I could.
Yeah.
But I think that's the difference in the relationships and evaluating your own relationship. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it kind of depends on how that relationship ended.
Yeah.
Like, if you got closure and everything was good, and so you're wanting to reach out truly just for a friendship level versus, you know, maybe it didn't end best and you want to have that closure now, it's kind of different. So I think just figuring out why do you want to reach out to them and then being transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So here's our last one.
Hey, Sierra. My name is Victoria, and I was hoping to get advice on how you stay so motivated with YouTube. I recently started my own channel, and obviously it's not going the greatest right now because I'm just now starting out. But what did you do to stay dedicated and stay motivated to keep posting and getting to where you're at today? Thank you so much for your time. Bye.
Hi, Victoria. That was so sweet.
Hi.
So first thing, starting a YouTube channel was the best thing I ever did, not because it ended up being my career, but because it really shaped the person I am. And I would have that same change regardless of the success of my channel. And I think the first thing is, you know, being proud of yourself for taking that step of starting the channel. Everyone talks about wanting to start a YouTube channel. Not that many people actually do it. And not that many people actually stick with it. So first, like, congratulations on launching it. And, like, you know, I hope you stick with it because it's the greatest thing ever. It's such a fun community. In terms of motivation to stick with it when you're maybe not seeing that immediate success, we talk about a lot about finding your why. Why do you want to make content? Is it to connect with other people? Is it to spread a message? Is it to have a creative outlet? Whatever that why is for you, identify that. And regardless of views, that is going to drive you. And
I also think in regards to having a small channel and not getting that many views, if you weren't making videos, zero people would be seeing that.
Mm.
Even if
retweet,
like, even if you're getting 100 views a video, that's 100 people who are sitting and watching that content.
Even if it's 10 people.
Like, imagine sitting in a room with 10 people listening to you talk about something. That is so many people.
Yeah.
Like, let alone 100 people or 1,000 people or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I think knowing that each view is actually a person is a really important perspective to have.
I think also from a practical standpoint, like, if we're just talking like how to stick to a schedule, how to be motivated on creating, first is creating content you really love, mm-hmm. because we've all had that feeling of when you have an idea and you just want to do it and you want to make it. Like when we had the podcast, I immediately was like, here's the list of all the action items we need to make it happen. Like, find whatever you get that feeling of, like, it's the middle of the night and you want to get up and turn your camera on and film because you're so passionate. Like,
and also I think don't be super quick to hop on YouTube trends. I think that's one way to not be passionate about the content you're making.
Yeah.
I think that even like with your channel, you started off doing like fashion, beauty, DIY lifestyle content because
that's what every girl did and that's what I thought I had to do.
But like, you're not passionate about any of those things. Mm-hmm. And so It's shown through. And so the first video that you ever did about like having a curvy body was the first one that ever blew up because people could see that that was something that you were passionate about. And also people weren't making videos like that. And it was a market that needed to be filled. Yeah. So don't just go for something popular because you'll think that, or you think that you might get recommended off of people.
Mm-hmm.
Speak your truth and find your niche and your audience.
Yeah. And create a schedule. I'm all about schedules.
Oh, yeah. Organization is key.
If you want to post every Monday, know that you need to film every video by Friday or Saturday so you can take that day to edit it. And then, you know, just create that workflow for yourself. And it's easier to be motivated when you know exactly what your next step is. I think when you look at a big project like a YouTube channel, and you think, okay, how am I going to get a video that has, you know, 1,000 views? That's not maybe the best way to stay motivated. Because if that video doesn't hit that benchmark, you're not going to be content. But if your goal is, I'm going to post a video every Monday, and I'm going to do it about something I really care about, that is an easy thing to hit. Also, don't miss out on the benefits of having a small channel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I, when I had a smaller channel, I felt the same way as you of like, man, I just want to get to that next step. Like, I just want to get to that point.
There's a lot less hate.
A lot less
hate. Your videos are a lot less likely to go outside of your pool of people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I feel like you can do more niche videos.
And you have the opportunity to experiment. Like, sometimes I'll have video ideas that would be so far out of my content now that I'm a little bit like, I don't know if my audience would like that. When you have a small audience, that's your chance to, if you're making sewing videos and you have an idea about BMX bikes, you can do that because
totally
your audience isn't like, I came for this one thing and that's all I want. You can really, and take advantage of that. Like,
and also experiment with it.
Mm-hmm.
See what your audience wants to watch.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I feel like that's the time to really play with it and find out what your niche is. And I don't know.
And I think identifying exactly your ideal kind of person to watch your videos. Because, like, you know, I could make a million slime videos and probably get more views, but is that the audience that I want? No. It took longer for me to get the audience that I have. It took a long time, but this is the audience I want.
I also think being open to having a bigger audience and being accepting of that.
Very true.
I think my favorite viewers of your channel are the women in their like 50s or 60s who approach us.
Yes.
Who have said that their entire lives they've just hated their bodies, mm-hmm. they've covered up their bodies, and they've had this like revelation and this big change. And I think, obviously, that's not our core audience, women in their 60s.
But how cool that they're hearing that message, too.
You know?
Like, that's so awesome. Or also, I hear a lot from men, too. Like, my audience is mostly women. But I've met, you know, guys in public who are like, you know, I felt really bad about my body, and you've helped me with that. And I'm like, yeah, maybe, like, my ideal viewer isn't that person. But how freaking cool that, like, this is helping women in their 50s and guys in their teens, too. Like,
yeah.
Be open to new audiences. Be open to new ideas. Be appreciative of the benefits that come with having a small channel and do what you love. Do what you're passionate about.
I think that's a great place to wrap this episode.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching or listening. If you want to be featured on the next podcast in our advice segment, you can call 8778-SIERRA. Leave us a voicemail. You can use your name or no name or fake name, whatever you want. I get a lot of questions about that. And follow Skylar on Instagram at sky.p_. Is that right?
Yeah.
And
follow Sierra at Schultzy everywhere.
Thank you. And we will see you guys next Monday with another episode.
Bye.
Oh, and rate us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Give us 5 stars.
Please.
Yeah, please. Okay, bye.